You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
But anyone that has a problem with any situation that's going on in their life, regardless of whether I have the answer to it or not, or can I be just a listening ear? You know, a lot of people just want to hear some, don't want you to sit and listen to them, want to vent. You know, I'm that kind of a person that I do whatever's necessary to help the next person. Because over my years, my 68, almost 68 years of living, there's a lot of people help me along the way.
Well, Charles Stanley, remember him, the famous preacher from Atlanta?
Mm-hmm.
He said, listening is healing.
Right. I believe in listening for a reason. I listen to learn, and I learn to listen. And once I incorporate that in my life, with the power that I have that's over me, which is the God of my understanding, which is Jesus Christ, who is my Lord and Savior, then I'm well on my way. I try today not to let no one take me out of what I call my comfort zone to where I get to the point where I can get belligerent, act unaccordingly, or out of my character. I do not choose to do that today. And that's by me continuously doing what I need to do. Because there's so many things that I want to do, but these are the things that I need to do.
Now, you said you were up in Catskills, and that's of course, Mike Tyson country.
Right.
Now, I got to interview Mike Tyson a few years ago. We spent some considerable time together.
Yeah.
And actually, he prayed with me to receive the Lord at the end of the interview when we went off. I don't know if it took or not.
Yeah.
But I can tell you this. He's a very smart man.
Very smart.
And he has a code. And he has, he doesn't know, but he has my friendship forever. He meant to me, you couldn't find a better friend. He was recently interviewed by Tucker Carlson.
Yeah.
And so Tucker, I don't know why, I asked him this. He said, are you ever offended? And out of Michael, you have to have God in you in order to say this. It's so wise. Because remember, for quite a long time, you know, he was beat up. I think it was Queens or wherever he's from in mm-hmm. New York. He learned not to box first. He learned to, you know, you're going to attack me. I'm going to save my life. I mean, he was fighting that. And he goes back into that mode. That's why he wins those things. And he said, are you ever offended? And Mike Tyson goes, he contemplates, he's a pregnant moment, doesn't say anything. He goes, only when I think I'm somebody. It's genius.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think you're somebody, you can be offended. How dare they talk to me? You know, mm-hmm. I'm a Red Palmer, mayor of the airwaves or something. You know, no, you're Red Palmer, the servant of others.
Right.
You know, the moment I think I'm somebody, I'm in trouble. That takes great wisdom to learn, you know?
Yeah.
So the only time he said, the only time I'm offended is when I think I'm somebody. So with all his fame and all his fortune, he's had to learn not to think he's somebody.
Right.
Because you know what, really? You know, you might have money in your pocket more than I have, but that doesn't mean you're better than me.
Right.
And a couple of years ago, I was walking down the street here. I'm sure Noah's sick of hearing this story. But there was a lady walking in. I think she was homeless. Well, she didn't smile at me. So I got to thinking, why is she not smiling? Because she didn't think she had anything to give me. But, you know, I might be in really down.
Right.
And so, you know, I want everybody to know it doesn't take money. It doesn't take having power politically. It doesn't take having a big business.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take all these things we think are power. Everybody has the power, even if you haven't got a penny in your pocket. And that's the power to give another person dignity, you know?
Okay.
And we all need dignity.
Right.
We all, you know, your respect needs to be earned. If I'm going to respect you, but even if I don't respect you, I still am called to give you dignity. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think, you know, it's important that we give each other dignity, you know? Well, let's go backwards in these stories, because there's a lot you went through. The kids picking on you, and what happens next?
Wow.
Yeah. And when did you come to know the Lord personally? As an adult or as a child?
I've got to be honest with you. I have to be honest with you. At a young age, I shunned God.
You what?
I shunned God.
Shunned him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why? Because of all the things that was happening to me in New York at a young age as a child.
You blamed him.
I blamed it to God.
Yeah.
I'm in Brooklyn, New York. I'm in New York, and I'm like, there's over, at that time, there was over 8 million people in this city. Why me? Why did I have to be born this way?
Yeah.
Why did I have to go through all these complications, all this hatred? Why me? But as time went on and I started getting older, then I started listening. Well, I just spoke about learning to listen and listen to learn.
Yeah.
I started listening to others. My mother, tell me that God don't make no junk. You know, that God don't make no junk. And I would always say, why me? My mother said, why not you? Why not you be a living example for the next person? Why not you show the next person that because of your deformitation to your hands, that it's not stopping you, slowing you down, or hindering you from doing anything you want to do. You see, I'm a truck driver, CDL license. I told you my family own tracks and trailers.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm a truck driver. I speak five different languages.
Five different languages.
I've been in recovery since 1983. You know? I have so many different good qualities that I feel is good qualities in my life that takes away from the couple of bad things that I had. So when I say I shone God, I didn't know. I didn't know. I know today. I know two things if I don't know anything else.
Yeah, go on.
I know two things if I don't know anything else. And one thing that I do know is who I am today. And the second thing that I do know today is whose I am today. I know that the reason and the purpose for my life is much more powerful than what I might think, because my mind and my thinking has to the no degree of what God has for me. I don't know my limitations yet. I know I love doing what I do. I know I love to go to community places, different places and speak. I love doing that. I love giving back. You know, that's where I'm at.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I should start a speakers agency, and I should hire you on as management, because I tell you what, you give a great. I heard you speak recently. I mean, you need to be in schools. You need to be in high schools. You need to be in young. What do they call the school before high school? A junior high.
Junior high.
You need to be in colleges. You need to be speaking to sports teams and stuff. I mean, you got quite a story.
There's a part of my life that I haven't spoke about.
Yeah.
And that's, I have been incarcerated.
Ah. How did you get in? What happened that you would be incarcerated?
Well, when I left New York, I graduated out of high school in 1974. Went straight into college at the University of Farmingdale in Farmingdale, Long Island. In 1977, my family in Miami wanted me to come to Miami on spring break. And I went to Miami on spring break not knowing what type of lifestyle my family was living, because of every summer in New York when school is out, my mother would send us to Tampa, Florida to my grandmother.
Mm.
And we would stay in Tampa, Florida for summer, never going to Miami. So in 77, my uncle then wanted me to come to Miami to visit them.
Hey, thanks, Bernie. Would you take that lady back into the kitchen with you and talk to her?
My uncle wanted me to come to Miami to visit them, and I came to Miami, and I truly didn't know that my family was in a drug lifestyle, the business that they were in. My uncle was in a very large drug lifestyle.
Drug.
Yes, and I got...
So they weren't just moving furniture, they were moving drugs.
No. New York is the furniture. Miami.
Oh.
Miami's Florida.
Oh.
It's a drug lifestyle. And I got caught up in that lifestyle.
You did.
I got addicted to the lifestyle before anything else.
So were you selling drugs?
Major drugs.
Major. What's a major drug?
Well, what we call kilos and blocks.
Really?
We call them blocks and all that.
So how much money were you making?
I made a lot of money, but...
Like hundreds of thousands, millions?
Way more than that. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands. Really? When I got busted for... possession with intent to distribute and trafficking in cocaine. A judge in Miami back in 1982 gave me a sentence of 30 years in prison.
30 years?
Never been in trouble in my life before. Never been in trouble in my life, New York, nowhere. She gave me 30 years, not only because of me, but because of my family. There were indictments already pending on my family. And I came down, didn't know anything about any of that because I'd never been down
there. So she wanted to make an example out of you?
Not only me, she gave my uncle 100 years, one of them. Gave another one of my uncles, the one who was the kingpin of the organization, gave him.
And this was 1982, because I had a guy on my show. He was caught with marijuana, and he did 31 years in prison.
Yeah.
How many years did you do in prison?
I did a total of 26 years and 4 months, day for day.
All day for day, all one big thing.
One all at once, from 1983, to 2000, February 1983 to June of 2009. I did 26 years and 4 months, day for day, calendar year.
26 years.
Right here in the state of Florida.
It sounds like a pretty severe sentence.
Yeah, well, I suppose I've been doing only just like out of the sentence, I suppose I did like 15 years, half of it, because back then they was giving you good time, gang time, statutory time, all different types of ways they were taking time off of the back of your sentence if you're doing right in prison. You're not getting what we call back then DRs, mean disciplinary reports,
yeah,
for acting up or getting violent or doing things of that nature, or getting caught doing selling drugs or anything you're doing that's not permitted by the prison system. And I got into a lot of altercations in prison. Because about the same way I did when I was in New York, where kids would want to pick at me, and guys in prison wanted to pick at me, thought because they could take advantage of me because of my hands as far as my family. I always had money, even in prison. So I ran stores in prison. I had a medical grade 3 in prison. Medical grade 3 is, back then, is what all I had to do was keep my bed area clean in prison, and I ran my stores. I had to do no work because of my hands and stuff. You know, a medical grade 1 is that you're classified to go anywhere in the state of Florida to prison, to work outside, chain, whatever, anywhere, any kind of work. Medical grade 2 is like you're working inside the perimeters of the fence, medium custody. And I had a medical grade 3 where all I did was just work, kept my bed area clean, and I ran stores, and I would build.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
Pastel Brazil Cafe serves fresh empanadas, salgados, and desserts daily, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Saturday. Located at 8275 U.S. 1, Port St. Lucie. Available at 954-257-4957.
So bright, it's blinding. A shepherd shepherd.